All right, welcome back to another episode of Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland. Here beside me sits two very good people when it comes to lubrications, and we'd like to introduce them. Big Owl Lubricants. Let's go right to left, left to right, something like that.
I'm Austin Ballow.
I'm Jonah Ballow.
So let's talk about that. You guys have been supplying us oil for right at, what, this would be the third season now?
Yeah, right before the, I think you're, right before the first trip you made to the Dome.
Okay. Yep. So I'm going to say what? Definitely two full seasons now. Yeah. So very pleased with our oil, have zero complaints, have had zero parts failures or things like that regarding to the oil.
You're listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland.
But let's dive right into, who are you, Jonah? How did you come about in the oil business? And then we'll get into how you guys started Big Owl.
Ooh, that's a complicated question. I own several companies, and we were brokering some deals, oil deals, when COVID hit. And we started looking for a location, basically, just, you know, maybe some loading docks, a place to put a tank farm. And one thing led into another. You know, we got into the racing business, and, you know, we bit off way more than we thought we were gonna. But
so real quick, I don't mean to cut you off, but you said that you right in 2019 and everything, but did you grow up in the oil business?
No, absolutely not. So yeah, this was a complete fluke.
So what did you do growing up? Like, where did you work, and how did you come about?
Well, I actually own an oil and gas company, inspection company. So we work in these oil refineries. So, you know, we had a lot of contacts with, I mean, name an oil refinery, we probably stepped foot in it at some point. But I wound up hiring a few guys and, you know, kind of got talked into building this tank farm. And, you know, you're looking at this facility, and, you know, you go from 3 tanks to 40 tanks, and you got all these different SKUs. And, you know, we got into the racing business. And, you know, our company name is not Big Owl Lubricants. It's actually Renovus Manufacturing and Distribution. Now, we manufacture Big Owl Lubricants. So as soon as we got into the racing business, Big Owl kind of, I guess, definitely superseded what we thought it would be. We just, you know, we were putting some oil, you know, we developed an oil for our race team. We started putting this stuff in buckets, and next thing we were the Big Owl guys, not Renovus. So, which was a weird marketing deal, because still to this day, nobody at a dirt track is going to even know. If I wear a Renovus shirt, I got a Big Owl shirt on right now. If I wear a Renovus shirt, you wouldn't even know who I was.
Yeah. I've been sponsored by you guys, and I didn't know that about y'all. So as far as that stuff goes, you talk about a tank farm. What exactly is that? Is that tanks of oil? Is that supplies to create different blends of oil? What are you referring to when you said you had a tank farm?
Well, so originally we just had bulk storage tanks. And that led into eventually using some of these for blend tanks. And, you know, at this point, we're blending, we're packaging. We have, you know, bulk tanks. So we basically got 2 tank farms at this point. One of them we're using for blending and the other one for storage.
Gotcha.
So, you know, these tanks are between, you know, 4,000 gallons up to, you know, 20. Now, we do have a 56,000-gallon tank, kind of an oddball. But, you know, all kind of random products. I mean, you know, most people don't even know the the random products that we're making now.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. What back then when it was is Renovus, correct? That's how you pronounce it.
Correct.
Okay, when it was that, what was the thing that you produced the most at that point before racing products?
Hydraulics, you know, AWs, and we to this day still 1540, you know, heavy duty trucking oil, you know, comparable to Delvac and Rotella. You know, I think that, you know, we got a 1540 that is comparable to anything on the shelf. You know, it's fantastic fluid. It's just like the racing oil. You know, we don't spare any expense.
Right. So it was all the AW products prior to racing. Well, where were you at the time of all of this, Austin? Where were you fitting in?
So I was in college still when they started all this. I just randomly came home, and then there was a race car here. I'd maybe been to Pike County once before, just to check it out. I think my dad and his buddies had, this was right around when COVID started. Everything was shut down. Couldn't do anything. And they were like, hey, do you want to just go to the racetrack? I was like, yeah, sure. That sounds fun. And then not long after that, they had a car. And then I was traveling back and forth from school, so I wasn't there to see it all kind of unfold. It was just like 2 weeks later, all right, now we got a car. All right, 2 weeks later, now I'm working on tires. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
So he left a cross-country race track
yeah.
to come to a dirt track.
A lot different, right. For sure.
So I was in my junior year maybe of college. I just interned at Shintech Chemical, and they wouldn't allow me to intern for the COVID year. They had made cuts, really? And it wasn't something they could do. So I was sitting around looking for a job, kind of, and then my dad was like, look, just come up here and help Matt. You know, it was very early on, and that was right around the time we got the car. So Matt was just like, hey, why don't you just kind of take care of this? Like, see what we could do better. See if you could reach out to racers and race shops, you know, and I got hooked up with Chase, and then we had kind of started moving around to some different other racetracks, and then we got our own car, and it blew up from there.
At that point, a couple things. How many employees did you guys have? Do you know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, you know, we ramped up and down. We've never had more than, you know, a dozen or so up there. I mean, we got into a big enough bind during COVID where we were actually using we called the sheriff's office and said, hey, can we have some inmates?
Really?
You know, we couldn't get people to work. So, you know, they would come and drop these guys off. We'd let them paint tanks all day and pressure wash. And, you know, we've been in full-blown construction mode, you know, while we've been trying to build a brand and blend fluids and do business development and all that. So, you know, it's never been, you know, this ain't a 100 employee company. You know, this is, you know, if you buy, you know, quartz like I see on the shelf up there,
right?
You know, I might have put those stickers on myself.
Really?
You know, Austin has put nobody wants to do stickers, and the quartz are a nightmare. It's just a complete nightmare.
Yeah, we prefer the buckets.
Well,
that's why we sell buckets of oil so cheap.
So,
to persuade people, say, please don't buy quartz. And our quartz are pretty. You know, they look great.
They do, man. Y'all's quartz, like I like the quartz. Obviously, we like the buckets. But, man, when we get a quart of something from you guys, I'm like, wow, this is really well packaged. Like, it's really nice. And then to hear that, it's like, oh.
I got videos of, like, my 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, you know, taking rolls of stickers out and setting everything up for us and taking the quartz and setting into boxes, and, you know, for us to tape them.
Right.
You know, so, you know, when I say family business, this is next level.
Yeah, so how many little employees do you have? How many children do you have?
I have 8 total. You know, I have 2 that are, you know, obviously Austin is the oldest. He's got a sister who is 24. And then I have 6 that are 16 years old and down. So all the way down to 4 years old.
Yeah, so, and that's what's impressive to me is you guys are running this oil business right here, and y'all have a lot going on. I find that out more and more the more I talk to you guys. And I actually met Mr. Jonah for the first time at Baton Rouge. Up until that point, we've only talked to Austin. But going back, you were a cross-country runner. How fast could you run a 5K at the time? Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, we had went to Des Moines, Iowa, actually.
Really?
I remember the race. I remember almost everything about it. 14:47.
That's how fast you could run a 5K?
Ran that my junior year, 2019, I would say, in Des Moines, Iowa. One of the Des Moines, Iowa, like that race, other than like a championship-style race, that's like your Eldora Million.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's sub-5-minute
miles.
It's
not like your Lucas Oil Championship or your World Outlaws like championship, but it's you know, it's the dream. It's the million. That's where if you win that race, you know, that's something to – pat your back on. I did not win. Don't ask me that.
Okay. And then my other question, you know, sitting there, you talking about you having inmates working at the plant. What is there any funny stories that you can discuss about that? Did anything funny happen while they were working there?
You want to know the funny part?
What's that?
Is that those guys were better employees than a lot of the free men we hired.
Really?
You know, I'm making a joke. Well, I mean, right. We've always had really good employees, but you know, those guys, they couldn't be late,
right?
Because the sheriff's office is dropping them off, and then they would come pick them up. And I can remember, you know, these guys. This isn't hardened criminals. This is, you know, this was a few guys that we used from time to time, and I can remember them saying that they were getting released, and. You know, thinking to myself, I hope they break the law.
So they can come back.
So they'll come back because they really were good, you know. And, you know, I guess, you know, they helped us when we needed it. And they were just glad to get out. And they were glad to have a job. And when they got out, they actually had money.
Right.
So, you know, it really is a good program. And.
So they weren't a free labor force. You were paying these guys, even though they were criminals. They were getting paid to come and work for you guys.
You can rip these guys off, I believe. You could probably give them $3 an hour or something. We paid those guys just like regular employees. You know, we gave them, you know, with the other, you know, lower level, you know. These guys wasn't packaging and blending. These guys were, you know, helping with construction mostly. So they got $15 an hour or something, you know, and I know we could have easily paid them 10. They were good workers.
Right.
And I would have kept them.
Yeah.
But, you know, each one of them had other stuff to go back to.
Right, right.
So.
Well, along the lines of that, you also, before we started the podcast, we were talking, and you told me that, you know, amongst the employees that you have, you've got guys that are, you know, blue-collar hands that are in the field all the way up to guys in white coats, you know. Tell me about that. What's it look like, you know, from the scale of it, from being the blue collar guy all the way to being in the lab? What kind of roles do those guys play in it?
Well, you know, we were revamping a super old business that had been, you know, this place was shut down for 2 decades plus. So it took a while for us to get going, but you know, there was some buzz around town, you know, about us, starting what we were doing. And, you know, we wound up getting some good employees out of the deal. You know, Steve Bennett is one of them who is, you know, he's been blending fluids, water-based, to oil-based stuff. I mean, you name it. If you can take two things and put it together, I mean, he is just a guru. And like I say, he's a blue-collar guy. Who can explain things to guys like us who, you know, I mean, I don't think any of us are going inside, you know, trying to split atoms at night. So, you know, I can appreciate that stuff. And definitely at the racetrack, he's a huge resource, you know, because he can put things into terms and come up with blends that suit you and also explain it to you where it makes sense. You know, we've had Matt Saragusa, you know, from day one, and, you know, Matt is just a walking encyclopedia. He's an oil genius. He's a robotics guy. You know, anything you could want. I mean, Matt is really sharp. So, you know, we just made a new hire. We have Jeff Coopers with us, who is doing business development, and you know, he's a networker, he's a salesman. We've done this entire deal with no salespeople, really. You know, it's just been word of mouth, and you know, we've really used the Big Owl racing oil to get you guys, you know, a lot of loggers and sawmill guys, and you know, just mechanic shops,
right?
Truckers, you know. So you got a $50,000 open motor, and you running, you know, 8 quarts of 2050, and you've been running this stuff for, you know, a couple years. You're probably going to feel pretty good about running 1540 in your hauler.
Oh, and we do, yeah, exactly.
So that's been our MO. The problem is, you know, we have sponsored so much. And, you know, I think it starts to hurt your feelings later when you see you sponsor these guys for a year and they never bought anything. You know, you just give them a sponsorship, or you give cases of oil away. And we actually show our face, you know, at these tracks. And we hadn't done much this year, and it probably is because of basically what I'm explaining. But, you know, we did everything we could do, like legitimately everything but writing bad checks to sponsor the racers and the tracks and the series. And, you know, some of that stuff's paid off. I mean, I would say that, you know, the deal that you made with Austin, you know, I think you're getting a good product.
And, of course.
You know, I think that you always throw our name out there. We appreciate that. But I would like to see some more loyalty, you know, from some of the other people that we've helped, and you know, we need it. This is an extremely small company, and you know, we go through lulls, you know, where you know we looking at payroll and saying, hey, can we make it this week? Do we need to cut these guys' hours? You know, there's no corporate jets, and you know. Ranches and stuff.
Right. Yeah. So along the lines of that, and I don't mean to cut you off, but like, tell us some of the struggles that you guys face along the lines of financial stuff on the plant. Is it, I mean, you've talked about, you know, sometimes lacking employees, you know, obviously the financial side of things. What else do you guys face? As far as competitors and competition stuff goes, aside from the racing part of it, is there, I know Austin and I have talked a while back, you know, you got guys that, do they make it hard? I know y'all have got laws and things that y'all have to pass. Is there somebody that comes and inspects y'all, you guys, do they inspect you guys, and do they inspect other businesses like y'all? Is there, like what do y'all have to follow? Is there a rule set and stuff like that away from the oil side of it?
Yeah, so you got the DEQ, who, you know, they're gonna come inspect you. They want to test, you know, water runoff and that kind of stuff. Like I say, luckily for us, we have a really small facility in the grand scheme of things. You know, this isn't Exxon,
right.
So it's manageable. And I mean, in reality, we probably have way more management per employee than most facilities. You know, we definitely are top heavy with experience. So, you know, we don't have the money to go spill oil on the ground either, so which helps us
right.
Tremendously. You know, that's you know, every gallon, you know, you're spilling $10 bills on the ground. We can't afford to do that, and we wouldn't want to do it if we could.
Right.
So, you know, but there's still, you know, the amount of paperwork and that kind of stuff you got to deal with is tremendously annoying. So the racing part really is the funnest part,
really,
of being in the lubricants world.
So, and now that we've discussed all of those things, you talk about COVID and stuff, and then y'all purchasing race cars. Tell us how y'all developed the racing side of it from, you know, you mentioned that you guys bought a car, y'all went out to the racetrack, and then you start saying, well, how do I get better? How do we get better? How can we improve on this? Talk to us about that.
So this, I might get a little long-winded here, but I'd like to start, you know, back up to how this all happened. Now we were in the process of putting some bulk storage tanks in. In that process, you know, COVID hits, and I watched a program on the Vice Network. Now, for any of you good conservative Republicans out there, I would not recommend watching the Vice Network. It's, you know, it can be a little liberal. There's a program on there called Abandoned, and they did an episode of, I think it was called Carolina Speedway, you know, basically about abandoned tracks.
Right.
Now, something that, you know, nobody seems to talk about a whole lot anymore is, the racetrack in LaRange, Spillway Speedway. You heard of that, Chase?
I haven't. Okay. No, I mean, I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Anyway, anybody who raced at the LaRange Speedway, Spillway Speedway, I think it changed names a few times, they would argue that it was the greatest track ever. And I'm sure if, you know, I don't know how podcast works or if this is going on YouTube, but somebody,
all platforms, yes, sir.
Somebody is going to comment on the old Spillway Speedway. It had covered grandstands in LaRange, Louisiana, which still, you know, is a super small town.
Really?
And one of the raciest tracks ever. So, you know, we all grew up poor. I grew up in a house with no, you know, one window unit, still has no cable, no telephone, and stuff like that. And my neighbor, who was a transmission guy, and his brother-in-law owned Acorn Transmission in Ameet, Mr. Terry Reitz. So they would, you know, apparently go to the track every now and then, and they bought a pure stock. And I bet you if they spent $2,000 on that thing, I'd be shocked.
Really?
We go out there night one, and they spray paint numbers on it, run on the track, and they won. And we were all hooked. We were hooked. This was a LTD, Ford LTD. You had David Knight back then driving Fords. Pretty much everybody else was, you know, this was all Chevrolet guys.
Right.
So, anyway, it was a blast. It was some of the best times of my life, you know. So fast forward, the track shuts down. You know, I can't even recall going to Pike County Speedway. We went to Baton Rouge a little bit, you know. So here I am, 25 or 30 years later, I'm watching this program, and I'm watching this guy go to all these abandoned racetracks and saying, you know, it really is a shame. And whether you went to Toys R Us or, you know, all these other chains that are closing, you know, everybody wishes Toys R Us was open, but nobody wants to go spend their money there. You don't want to go stand in line there. Or Blockbuster.
Right.
You know, I took Austin and the rest of my family to the last Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon a few years ago. There was probably 8,500 Blockbusters. Well, I'm looking at the racetrack, and these guys were just reopening at Pike County Speedway. So, anyway, I got into my feelings and said, you know what? What could I possibly do, you know, to help my local track? I can't save dirt racing, but I can go to my dirt track, and I can buy some hot dogs and a pit pass and all that. So,
yep.
Within 48 hours, I'm driving through Texas. I called Michael Dupuy and said, you know, how do you feel about racing again? Now, Michael hadn't raced, I think at that point he said 11 years. He was a sprint car driver. You know, nobody, Michael's my age, you know, nobody in their 40s or, you know, dying to get back in a race car that could potentially be a missile, you know. So we settled on, you know, possibly, you know, running late models. So like Austin said, this all happened quick, you know, like we doing it. So let's buy a trailer, let's buy a car, let's buy a motor. And we did everything we set out to do. You know, I think that within the first that first season of us racing, I estimated that we had brought roughly 200 people to a dirt track who had never been.
Really?
So, you know, and I really looked at the business model of the dirt tracks. And to me, and I've talked to some of the owners, and y'all are all fighting over the same people. Mm-hmm. You know, so you trying to get, you know, there's a racetrack every 60 miles, and you trying to throw a bigger show to try to get their fans to come to your track, which is great. You know, each track should have their big race at the end of every year. But the way to make it sustainable is to get brand new people in, because whether you race or not, you're going to like this. You're going to like the smell of it. You're going to like the sound of it. You know, I don't think that me and Austin's a mechanical engineer. You know, he had his life planned out. I brought him to a racetrack, and, you know, he's a grease monkey now.
Turned your world you know? Upside down.
So if you think it can't happen, you know, this was a clean-cut kid, a full-ride cross-country and track scholarship, and now he's grinding tires. So my thought was to get brand new people there and make it fun. And, you know, a racetrack isn't, you know, it isn't a place you're just going to drive into if somebody don't invite you. You know, you probably won't drive into a golf course. You know, it's just a lot of stuff. You know, it's a lot of moving parts.
Got to almost have a tour guide for sure.
Right. If you invite friends of yours to the dirt track, they may not love it. And there might be one who hates it every now and then. But for the most part, they're going to leave there and say, man, that might not be my cup of tea, but I had a blast.
Right.
And I sleep good at night knowing that I did everything I could do, at least at Pike County Speedway. Now, we do as much as we can in Jackson, and we brought you know, piles of people to Baton Rouge. We came to Outlaw the first night it opened. I mean, we left a wedding. If I'm sure there was people there wanting to know what these lunatics were doing. But, you know, I had, you know, my daughter and all her friends in high heels. You know, I had a white shirt on. You know, I mean, we had a tie on. A few hours ago, we leave Amite, Louisiana, and drive to Outlaw, which, by the way, is – you know, that's an easy drive for you. But
yeah, that's right down the road. Man. But that's what, 3 hours from you guys, roughly?
It depends on how many times you lose service and lose GPS.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we couldn't find a place.
It is in the sticks for sure.
But we did everything we could do to get people in the stands. And, you know, we got the 5-ton Army truck that, you know, we would bring to all the races, and, you know, we never asked for a nickel for any of this stuff. You know, I felt like we did everything we could do to include people in the show and, you know, make this sustainable. And this is all from a silly TV show, like a documentary.
Right.
And it was amazing, you know, how much that touched me, thinking about the old dirt track in La Ronja. And, you know, it costs us a fortune to do it. But, you know, like I say, I sleep good at night knowing that I did my part. I don't know what else I can do.
Yep. So along the lines of all of that, where did the oil fit in? Along the time of you coming to the racetrack and supporting the racetrack, you were promoting product, Big Hour lubricants at the racetrack at that point? Or is this after that is when we start to see Big Owl start showing up at our local dirt track?
Yeah, we were Renovus.
Okay.
And we were just selling bulk loaves of oil. We, you know, we had some quick changes and stuff like that, you know, non-branded. You know, we were just selling oil. And you know, we were going to run a super late model. And right about that time, they stopped doing the weekly shows. So we get a crate late model.
Yep.
Tim Morrell talked me into, you know, get a 604 crate car, you know. So we did. And we realized pretty soon that, you know, we needed to try to steal some horsepower. This thing's slow. It don't turn. It's too much car, not enough motor.
Exactly.
So I go to my guys and say, hey, I need y'all's help. You know, I know this ain't part of the gig. We doing, you know, hydraulics and PCMOs and, you know, we doing all this stuff that's actually making money. Do y'all mind helping me? You know, we run in 2050 right now. We're slow. So we started working on stuff. And, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, we started looking at additives and this and that we could steal a little horsepower, you know, which is what everybody in a crate late model, at least, is trying to do. Hopefully you're doing that in every division.
Yeah.
But
there specifically, I mean, 5 horsepower is like finding 50 in an open car for sure. It's insane, you know, what we're chasing in a crate late model because you don't have anything. So yeah, that goes a long ways. So how were y'all able to, was it something that y'all were testing in the lab or were y'all, how were y'all getting y'all's results? Was it on the racetrack or was it in the lab? Where were y'all seeing the gains at?
Well, originally, we just took the best oil we had, and we boosted it up with zinc and stuff like that. And then as the season went on, you know, I started asking the guys, hey, you know, make some phone calls. You know, we got to get faster. This sucks. You know, we got a great driver. We got a great car. You know, I'm not going to say we didn't spare any expense, but – you know, we got a car that can win.
Right.
And we stink. So we kept bringing in new base oils and new additives. And, you know, we finally got to where, you know, we felt like we needed to be. And, you know, we were terrible with the setup. You know, you got a sprint car driver. You got a mechanical engineer that just graduated. And you got a guy who's, you know, I mean, I'm not qualified to scrape the mud off the car technically, and this is your pit crew.
Sounds like a dream team to me.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you know, so anyway, we got better with the setup, but you know, the lubricants was a huge part. You know, we making horsepower, and you know, we started watching the car, and you know, at Pike County Speedway you were kind of drag racing. Mm-hmm. You know, so you would make up all this ground on the straightaway. We just couldn't turn, you know, we bad shock setups and that sort of stuff. But we knew we were onto something. So, you know, there was a few guys at the track that we knew we gave some oil to. And, you know, it kind of started out like that. And, you know, we didn't want to be Renovus. So, you know, we came up with something that we thought was cool at a dirt track. Big Owl lubricants to me is super cool.
Yeah. What gave y'all that? I mean, were y'all sitting on the porch, saw an owl? Like what brought up Big Owl? Where'd that come from?
I don't know how long this podcast is.
It can go.
So, I have a good friend of mine who's absolutely not in the oil business at all. He does E&I work, and his name was Brent, and we all called him Big Owl. Owl with a A.
Gotcha.
And when Austin was little, apparently he thought that we were calling him Big Owl. So I see this guy on a turnaround at BASF in Baton Rouge. And it had been a few years, and, you know, I had told him the story. I said, you know, when Austin grew up, you know, Austin had, you know, said, you know, I always got a kick out of this, but, you know, when I was a kid, I thought y'all were calling him Big Owl. So I told him that. I see him. He's got his work gloves on. Now, I don't tell this story a lot.
Right.
But he's got his leather gloves on. I hadn't seen this guy in a couple of years. And it says Big Owl on his gloves. So he comes up. I'm driving through the plant. He comes up and puts his arm in there. And I see it. And I'm like, what is this? He says, man, I get a kick out of it every time I think about that. So I wrote this on my gloves. So, you know, when we started the business up there, you know, when we had Renovus was a mixture of, you know, renewables and viscosity. That's where Renovus came from.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it was a lot of thought put into it. And I'm sitting there, you know, with the guys when we settled on the name, you know, I had just made a comment, said, you know, I would have called it Big Owl. You know, not putting a lot of thought into it. So, you know, a couple years later, you know, Matt shows up. He's got this logo and this brand. And, you know, the logo, originally I was thinking it would be more like the, maybe is it Trivago? What is the owl? The search engine.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the exact name, but yeah, I know what you're referring to.
It's a little sweet owl.
Yeah.
This is a nice guy owl.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at this, you know, this logo that comes back, and I mean, we were sold. Like, there was no revamping. We didn't send it back. But the owl actually was a knockoff of the Laranja Wolf. Laranja High School, back in the 80s and 90s, had a wolf that had his foot in the air. And we basically sent that to a, what do you call it,
graphic designer.
Mm-hmm. And he turned it into, you know, this owl. I mean, it was instant. It's printable. It was a done deal.
Yeah.
So, but like I say, you know, a lot of this stuff was, you know, it was a bunch of blue-collar guys having fun. You know, now, we were lucky to go into COVID, you know, kind of flush with cash. You know, we had gotten really lucky. And we were bored to death. You had a bunch of smart guys who were used to working. And this is what we did. You know, and look, I know a lot of guys got into iRacing and, you know, people were trying their best to kill time.
Right.
We got out there and we stood tanks up. We painted tanks. We came up with formulations. We came up with logos. I mean, you know, we did a lot with the time we had.
So y'all branded Big Owl at that point, and I'm surprised y'all didn't use the Hooter, like the Hooter emblem. No. Didn't send that in. So
we should go to Hooters after this podcast. I don't even know what their what their logo looks like, but I could go for some wings.
I'll take you down there. We'll see what it looks like. That sounds good to me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I think that's really interesting. That's a really cool story about how the Big Owl came from. But at that point, so y'all are running this oil in a crate car. It's becoming very successful. Word of mouth is spreading, and y'all are supplying oil to people. So now let's fast forward to where my team and I were looking for some sort of lubricant company. We were in the market for somebody to sponsor us. And Austin and I had a mutual friend on Facebook. I don't know if I can or can't, you know, say who it is. But anyways, he reached out and commented on our post and tagged Austin. And then next thing you know, Austin sends me a message. And then we locked you out of the gate. I don't know. I remember you were supposed to come in. You were supposed to be bringing oil, and you come up the hill walking. And I'm like, why are you walking? Well, the gate was closed down the hill. And it's like, oh, my bad. You know, so already like strike one. But yeah, what was that like for you?
Anybody that really knows me knows I'm notorious for like, we'll go work on the car, me and Cody. I'm pretty sure it was either Cody or
Blake. It was Cody.
You know, Cody's a very hard worker, doesn't get much sleep. I do like to sleep.
Yeah.
So I tell Cody, hey, man, look, like he wants to go race at Baton Rouge this Friday. And I already know I'm going to have to go over there 1 or 2 days. Like, man, be over here at about 8. I was like, all right, I'll be there about, you know, I'll be there at 8, and I'm going to be there at 9.
Yeah.
Same thing. Y'all had made some kind of post, and I woke up to it, and I had, you know, 10 Facebook notifications, people liking, people commenting, tagging me and stuff. And then I was like, Matt had already told me, hey, man, let's do what we can do. Let's do stuff that makes sense, that drives in business, that maybe we can scratch your back, you scratch our back. You know, we help out a racer in return. Maybe we help out a track, and we get our name out there. And that's woke up. I was like, all right, Chase, I'll send you a message on Facebook.
Yep.
Let's go.
The funny thing, Chase, is I think you guys had reached out the season before. So we give Austin access to the Facebook messages, and he looks at me and says, this guy reached out last year. You know, why didn't y'all make a deal? And, you know, I'm oblivious. I really don't know. You know, you got to understand the amount of information we've had to take in.
Right.
I don't know who's good. You know, I mean, if somebody asked me who the best race car driver is, I would still say, you know, it's Dale Earnhardt. You know, I'm
behind. If you weren't a Pike County driver, he didn't know who you were.
Right, so, right.
You know, and really, if you wasn't a Pike County crate driver.
Yeah, and we were neither of those. You know, I go to Pike County probably once every 2 years. Like it's not a place that really suits me, and I don't like the place.
Like, if you had to ask him the best, you know, drivers he knows, he's Tootie Arnold and Shannon Lee, who are great. I love them both.
Yeah, they are. Very they good. Are.
That's my boy.
But they go to Pike.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
You know. So I was like, man, this dude has already sent you messages. You don't know.
I didn't know who Chase Holland was. I thought you could have been one of those scammers.
It's probably best that you didn't know who I was, because you'd have probably been like, my goodness, this kid, this is the last one at that point. So, you know, you guys sponsored us, and we started running your products. Very pleased with it. We were super excited. We honestly were like, man, we've made it. You know, we've got lubricants now. So we start running your products, and the most common question, and the reason I'm going into this is so that you guys can explain it. The common question from local people, as well as people, you know, across all of our platforms, they start saying, hey, I see you're running those lubricants. You aren't scared of that? No problems. Well, what about this, and how do they compare to that? And it's like, well, Austin, when you arrived here, you explained everything, and you told us, you know, that y'all have a good product. So at that point, you had mentioned that y'all had a good product. We're running your product. We're very happy with the product. So that's what we went off of. But we're like, you know, let's conclude a season. That way we're able to say, hey, we had no parts failures. We had no engine failures. And you know, so then it's really like, okay, this right here proves that Big Owl is what they're supposed to be. Well, again, throughout all of that, we're trying to promote the product and stuff, and the most common question was, how does it compare to this? Are you sure it's good? What about? So I want you guys to not necessarily name drop a manufacturer of oil and stuff like that, but tell us what about your oil is, you know, it's safe. It's not going to hurt or damage parts, and you guys know what you're doing.
Well, the biggest thing is we run it in all our cars.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't run something that I didn't believe in or think was not the best in our car, especially not their late model. They've already said,
right,
you know, I could maybe spare some expenses. You know, they didn't.
Right.
You know, I may be looking for, man, I can run these old tires. They weren't doing that. They were running all new tires. They were running a brand new, like, 2021 Black Diamond or 2019 Black Diamond. And they were, how do we blend our own oil to make it better than anything else we got?
So, well, you know, when we designed you know, we were running 2050. You know, since then we've gotten into all kind of other stuff. But, and depending on which time of year, we do run a 1040. But long story short, you know, not only did we feel like we were running oil that wouldn't destroy our engine, we felt like we were cheating. Like, we – And that's a true statement. I mean, We didn't blend this stuff up as a skew, you know, to push on to other people. Like, we were trying to steal horsepower.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody comes in here who's been, you know, and look, we had a good car. The car's still sitting in the trailer, by the way, if you want to race it this weekend. Put a wrap on it and clean the carburetor. You know, if somebody walked up and said, hey, I've been developing a tire because I'm trying to cheat and win, I want a set. I want a right rear for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where we were, you know. And, you know, I mean, we're starting at ground zero. You know, we're a blending and packaging company. You know, we're not a, you know, we got a distribution network, but we're not buying from somebody else. We're not sending somebody. Nobody's toll blending for us. So I think originally we came out and we were so cheap that it scared people. But
we also gave stuff away. The beginning of Pike, you know, we would sponsor a case of 2050 quarts to like the crate winner. Yep. You know, we did that at Street Stock Nationals. We donated money, and then on top of it, you top five in every class got a bucket of oil.
We had a half ton pickup truck one night at Pike County Speedway, the first time we went in the pits, and we drove through the pits and we handed people buckets of oil.
Really?
Buckets.
Wow.
Now, this is before we even had the capability of doing quartz. But we were giving buckets of oil. And, it, you know, some of these guys, look, I wouldn't know them if they walked up right now. This was just random people. So, right. Hey, you might not buy it, but you know you're gonna run out of oil one night. You run this stuff. And, you know, we've had good luck. And you know, with, you know, some repeat customers, the biggest problem we have now is accessibility to the fluid, which is a shame. And you know, we're looking at possibly, you know, going on Amazon and eBay and, you know, which is a huge hit.
Right.
You know, but it helps us get it out there, and it is what it is.
Well, how can people get your oil right now? If somebody wants racing oil, how can they get it if they're – let's say they're not from the local surrounding states.
You know, there's been times where somebody calls and they order a bucket of oil, and this bucket is $120, and it costs us $50 to ship it to them. So I want you to think about that. You know, what kind of company would actually do that? And for the most part, we've done that, you know. Right. Now, you can't, you know, FedEx is making money, and we're going upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck to FedEx, but, you know, we can't stay in business doing that. So, you know, for the most part, we've been stuck regionally. Just, you know, we got some, you know, the local speed shops, and, you know, Austin can go on a list of names who have been good to us. But, you know, for the life of me, going back to these speed shops, you know, when you're looking at a, you know, and I try not to name drop or badmouth any other oil companies, you know, because they all making, you know, they all make some good stuff.
Right.
But if you walk into a speed shop and you've been racing, at, you know, in the South, and you're racing at Baton Rouge or Jackson or Pike County Speedway or Outlaw when, you know, if they reopen, and or Hattiesburg, you know, I guarantee you, if you walk through there, you're going to see guys who have been running our stuff, who potentially ran it for free. You know, we've done everything we could do with the series and stuff. For you to walk into a speed shop and go spend money with Valvoline, who, as far as I know, hadn't shown up at any dirt track. I mean, am I mistaken?
Mobile,
I mean, have you seen, you know, has Pennzoil been out to you know, Jackson Motor Speedway lately? You know, we show up, we spend our money, we bring the kids, we bring other people's kids. And, you know, I mean, there's labs. If you really need to see it, I mean, you're more than welcome to visit our lab. But, you know, you take this stuff and take the two oils that you want to know the difference between and send them off.
Is there so, and I'm not trying to have like a our oil's better, their oil's this or that. But when you truly break down a oil, somebody else's oil versus Jarl's oil, is there really a difference, or is it just the name on the side of the bucket or quart and the pricing of it?
Yeah, well, we typically try to stay in our wheelhouse, which would be, you know, focus on what we can do and not too much on everybody else. You know, we go find the best base oil we can. We're not married to Exxon or Chevron or Valvoline or any of these. You know, you can get base oil from Citgo. You know, there's base oils all over the place.
Right.
And, you know, you find a base oil that suits you and it works for you. And, you know, you got a number of other components. And like I say, it's like baking a cake. I'm not going to go, if my wife wants to bake a cake, I'm not going to get the cheapest flour and going to put the best icing on it. I'm going to get good flour. Now, I don't know anything about baking a cake, but I'm assuming you use flour.
Right.
And that's what we do. Again, and it's not like, you know, especially the racing oil, you know, we're not selling truckloads, tanker loads of this stuff. You know, this is a specific and incredibly important blend to us. So there's no shortcuts ever, you know, on any of our products.
Right.
You know, we don't have that kind of business where we saying, hey, you know, we got 16 trucks coming today. You know, there's days where we have one truck coming in and one going out. So, you know, we got time to focus and, you know, take pride in what we do.
And I'm reliable product.
Selling this oil to my friends.
Yep.
So, anyway, I hope one day that we blend in so much oil, you know, that there's lawsuits and all that. That'd be fantastic, right?
Right.
You know, that ain't going to happen. We're going to provide a good product to people that we care about for a sport that we care about.
Yep.
And I've got a lot of respect for that. And like I said, I can attest, we've been running this oil for quite some time now, and I've had zero parts failure, zero problems with it. Very, very happy with the oil. And I think that right there just extends that, you know, you guys have a great product that you care about, and you're giving back to the racing community. You're helping the racing community. So with all of that being said, I'm not trying to wrap it up, but just on that element of it, if you're in the market for a racing oil and you're not really married to anything, I highly recommend Big Owl Lubricants for all of the things that these guys have stated right here. So
yeah, we appreciate that support too, guys. Everybody out there, Chase, you know, and I want to bring something up about Chavez. So he apparently made a video that was on Facebook and then maybe YouTube. Austin sent me, and it was a video of you guys tearing down y'all's motor, and apparently y'all's engine builder asked you guys to basically just put it back together. The coolest thing about that story was, at the time, I had never met you guys. And, I mean, we've given you some oil. But, you know, we don't sponsor you. We're not sending big, giant checks like Happy Gilmore cashes, you know, for you guys to say that. And I remember looking at the guys back at the plant and saying, we don't know these guys, and listen to what they're saying. So, I mean, that was one of the best, I think the best compliments you could get.
With that stuff being said right there, again, huge supporter of Big Owl Lubricants, very happy with that. What's next? Do y'all have anything else going on? What's the plans on Big Owl?
Baton Rouge Friday night.
Okay. Racing, promoting, what are we doing?
I think we're gonna break out Cody McDaniel's factory stock.
Okay.
Knock on wood that it don't rain out. We were gonna go to Jackson last weekend for their big race, and we worked all day Wednesday and Thursday because they were going to race Friday and Saturday. Right. They rain out Friday. They decide they're going to do a one-day show on Saturday, and then that rains out. So they've pushed that back to a date. Actually, me and Dad will both be out of town anyways. So I think we'll go to Baton Rouge, and we got a new motor in it.
Should be a good one, huh?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we can finish.
There you go.
So, yeah, so the odd thing is, you know, when it comes to racing, you know, I got a handful. You know, Austin loves to race. He wants to be out there. He wants to drive cars. And like I say, I got a late model that I would say is my car. I don't drive.
Right.
I have no interest in driving. But, you know, I use my car more as a marketing tool to get people to go to the track. You know, we sponsor some baseball teams and stuff like that. And I, you know, reach out to these parents and say, hey, you know, the Big Owl car is racing tonight, which I hate that we hadn't been racing it because of that. But, you know, technically, I'm not there to necessarily win, especially at this point. Right. I like the car to go back in the trailer and not too beat up. I would like, you know, whoever drives it to have a good time.
Right.
You know, I don't want to make a fool out of us. But, you know, then you got Austin and Cody McDaniel who, you know, they want to race and they want to win.
Yep.
You know, I'm there more to promote the brand and to make sure the tracks stay open. Nothing would make me happier than you know. And I hate, you know, I reached out to the owners of Outlaw, you know, when things were going bad. And, you know, at one point we actually made a play to buy Pike County Speedway and it didn't work out, which would have been a financial blunder. But, you know, the local guys, they love it. You know,
Right.
That would have cost me a ton of headache, ton of work, and probably no return on investment. But I don't know. I have a soft spot for the dirt tracks. You know, I mean, we do a lot of stuff, though. You know, I mean, we were talking beforehand. You know, I mean, name it, if it's baseball, volleyball. You know, me and Austin, we fish. We do.
Yeah, tell us about the fishing real quick. I saw on Facebook you posted. I saw you say some people race, some people can fish. Austin can't do either. What happened?
I didn't specifically say Austin.
Oh, you didn't?
Some people can't do either one of those.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
He did snap one of my fishing poles, and it was a fluke. It was probably one of those rods, if I had to guess, straight from China. But, you know, we like to pick and joke with each other. The odd part about that is my younger two sons, who had been fishing with us that weekend, had been watching 8 seconds for the first time. And, you know, after I posted it, number one, I got in trouble at home.
Oh, really?
But number two, I'm watching, you know, the boys are watching 8 seconds. And you familiar?
I'm not. No,
okay,
sir.
Well, you definitely. Somebody tell Chase to watch 8 seconds. You know, the Lane Frost rodeo movie. And a good portion of that, you know, Lane was a national champion. I don't know anything about bull riding, but this was the guy in the 80s, and his dad was mean to him, or at least that's the way they portrayed it in the movie.
Right.
So they're watching that. I make a silly post about Austin, you know. So now I feel like Lane Frost's dad. But, you know, we do so much stuff, you know, like I say, Austin was, he's running cross country and 2 weeks later he's in a dirt car, you know, he wasn't in a pit crew. No, he wasn't anything fancy. It's hard to, you know, I mean.
That was my first experience ever driving a dirt car.
Really?
No practice. We showed up late and couldn't even hot lap. And then we're just like, man, whatever, screw it, whatever. You go out there for a heat race.
Really?
And I'm sitting there like, man, I really would have loved to have practiced maybe. I know the gas pedal's on the right.
Right.
So I think Michael showed up, and he was like, look, everybody's going to fire, and then you just hold off for like 2 seconds. All right, get through the heat race. I think half of the field crashes because it's pure socks at Pike County.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to start like, maybe 10th in a – it actually was like a 20 or 24 car field.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually – the Pure Sox have always had a lot of cars.
Yeah.
We talk stay in the back.
So, I was supposed to start 10th or whatever, and we're like, look, just start last. There's no big deal. Like, you just learning to drive. No big deal.
Probably worse than starting 10th.
No, I would say 10th. Somewhere in the middle is the worst.
Really?
That's got to be the worst.
That's where he was. Right where we told him not to.
Well, no. So I go to the rear. Yeah. I start last. Same thing. I let him go, and then I fire about a second after, and then I don't make it one turn, and then the cars are doing this, and I just hold it straight. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I make it to. I don't think I tore anything up. And then the second race, I got kind of. All right. I'm not gonna wait. We'll just start driving. Whatever. If we wreck it, we'll fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we started wrecking. Tore up a lot of stuff.
My biggest deal as a dad is, I'm friends with the kids. Right. I try my best to just be their buds and stuff like that. But, you know, my focus on earth is to make sure that they do as good as they can do.
Yes, sir.
And I think we've done a really good job at that. And then you also have, I got kids that feel like they have two dads screaming at them because I'm screaming and then Austin is screaming. And you don't even want to meet his sister, Darian, who's she's married to a race car driver too now. Cody Miller. Now the difference between Cody and Austin is Cody has the discipline to work on his car for 3 weeks to race one weekend, where Austin wants to race 3 weekends and work on his car 1 weekend. That's where I come in, and I'm gonna hurt your feelings if that's what you do.
Right.
So, but the amount of discipline, I've been there, and it's Saturday morning, you decide you want to race, and you ain't worked tires, and you don't have fuel, and you don't have anything. I'm at the time, mid 40s, and saying we going anyway. Let's we'll wash the car from the mud from last week at the track. Yeah, we've done that. And so, he's seen me do it. Now, I'm not necessarily trying to win.
Right.
I want the car to look good, and I want to have a good time. And right. I really, it's a social event for us.
Right, right.
Now, Michael Dupuy wants to win. He's driving.
Yeah.
So that's basically our racing summed up. But... when somebody calls and says the speckled trout and redfish are biting, am I a race car guy or am I a fisherman?
You jumping in a boat.
Me and Austin, we support some AVP beach volleyball teams, So we on the plane go and watch, the guys play. We do so much stuff that it's hard to focus. But
very big in the community.
Right. And then you got boys playing – travel baseball. I got a daughter playing soccer. So, the dirt track life is extremely fun, and it needs to keep going somehow or another,
Right.
But, how much have you sacrificed to race every weekend and be racing on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Tuesdays?
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard life.
It is.
But, man, please, y'all keep it up. And hopefully they got guys like us who show up and boost the ticket sales and actually help the track turn a profit. So, hey, everybody out there, y'all go to the dirt track. Whether you're mad at them, whether you like them, I would rather go to a dirt track that I'm mad at or, they black flag me than not have a dirt track to go to.
Yep.
So do we all agree on that?
100%.
So whether they racing bad, the bleachers are terrible, bring a chair. Go to the track. Bring somebody with you. Bring new people because they're going to like it.
I couldn't agree more. Bring somebody new to your local dirt track this weekend for sure. Well, guys, that's going to conclude this one. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for bringing the oil, but thank you more so for sitting down and doing this podcast with us. I hope people get a better view of who Big Owl Lubricants are. And want to support you guys even more. So, again, we appreciate it, and we look forward to continuing on with you guys.
Thank you for listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland. What'd you think about what you heard? Please follow for more content just like this.